Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. Today, I have two great guests. Actually, I've been on their show a few times, and I've talked with them many times. And so we're going to bring them on right away. Their name is Chris and Cherie. So, Chris and Cherie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us on.
You know, you're very welcome. Let's both you, Chris and Cherie, let's talk a little bit about first who you are, how the two of you happen to get together, and then we're going to talk about your radio show that you do and a lot of the topics that you have talked about on your show and a lot of the topics that interest both of us. So whichever one of you would like to start by telling the audience a little bit about who you are, that would be great.
Okay, absolutely. Well, we host the radio show Truth Frequency. We're twin flames. I'm the right brain. She's the left brain. Without each other, I don't think we could be doing what we do. And we have you to thank, actually, for introducing us to each other. We were actually met on Alex Jones's Prison Planet, but it was when you threw on this forum. And we were both forum posters for several years on there.
I was a moderator.
Didn't even think about getting together or anything like that. And then I decided to go see David Icke, and you were throwing the presentation, and so we drove up there, and we got a chance to meet each other, and we haven't been apart since.
Which is pretty good. And Cherie, how you feel about that?
Oh, I'm in love with life now compared to how it was before I met him. It is a new level of awakening. Meeting Chris and going through the last couple of years has been a whole new level of consciousness for both of us. And I'm grateful every day that we had the chance to meet each other.
You know, it's really good when you say that, Cherie, and Chris too. The best part of that is being able to communicate with each other and tell each other how great it is, no matter what's going on that day, no matter who's in what kind of a mood, but always make it recognizable that you both care enough that you're there together. Because, you know, you mentioned the fact, Chris, that you guys are twin flames. A lot of people get that kind of confused with soulmate. So maybe explain to the listeners the difference between a soulmate and a twin flame in your opinion.
Well, with soulmates, we can have many, many different soulmates. And sometimes soulmates...
You can grow into a soulmate.
And sometimes soulmates are necessarily... You know, somebody that you're with all the time or a significant other. It could be a friend. It could be an enemy, in my opinion. Somebody that comes in at a certain time in your life and really tests you and pushes those limits. And then you get the feeling that, wait a minute, I've known this person forever. They've come and done this to me over and over and over again in past lives. Twin flames are very different, though. Twin flames are the same soul which were split apart at the beginning of time. And then eventually they find each other once again.
At the end of the age is what? Well, that's what we think. Because, I mean, if you look at it from a macroscopic point of view, I am the left brain. He is the right brain. And we were separated a long time ago. And at the end of this particular circle, this particular cycle in life, we just happened to come across each other again. And that's part of this whole 2012 thing is what we think it is.
A lot of people are going to be finding their other half. And a lot of people, you know, I don't really believe know that there was a difference between, you know, a soulmate and a twin flame. And when I was doing the consultations, people say, oh, am I going to find my soulmate? And I look at them and go, you have a lot of soulmates. You sure that's what you want? Because, you know, there's another part out there that you, you know, maybe might still be searching for. And when you find that part, I said, you won't be asking about a soulmate. You'll be knowing that this is the other half of you. And they looked at me like I was crazy because, like, God, nobody talks about a twin flame. What's that? You know? But there's going to be more and more of the twin flames coming in now, and not just because of 2012, but mostly because we are waking up more, we are ascending more, not everybody, but a lot of people. And due to that fact, people are going to be more aware of that other piece of them that has been missing for a long time, and all of a sudden there's a person there, and it's going to feel like you have known that person forever, and you may have never met them in this lifetime. And people are going to be a little strange with that, going, oh, why do I know all this about you? But reason for that is because it's probably your other half that has been separated. So that's a good thing, and I'm glad that you guys found that within each other and within yourself, because it's a very important part that most people actually do not find throughout a lifetime. It usually takes a few or many. Okay, so that's
no. I completely agree with you, and you've guided us on our journey. And I have to say that some of the things that you've said in the beginning, when we first met, when Sheree and I first met, I thought to myself, "That's impossible. Nancy doesn't know what she's talking about, etc." And sure enough, everything came out exactly the way that you had advised us it was going to come out—the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. I mean, you told me in 2009, in 2011, we're going to see a lot of death in this world and a lot of natural disasters. And I was going, oh, whatever, that's ridiculous. 2011, I've always heard it was 2012. And sure enough, 2011 has been a time when we've had terrible tsunamis, earthquakes, natural disasters, wars, rumors of wars, and so on and so forth.
And we've seen the worst of humanity and the best of humanity in this past 6 months. And it's like everything's happening so fast that the it's like the polarities are becoming more and more obvious.
They need to. They really need to.
Yeah, and it's only natural that, you know, the mirror image of my soul, which is Chris, and I are kind of coming together at this point in history. It's only natural that that would happen, because everybody's always looking for that mirror image of the inner child that they have inside of themselves. And that's your twin flame. So,
and it's good. It works, and that is very good. And that was a good all, Chris. That was good. The other thing I like both of you to talk about is, you know, on your show, you guys have interviewed many, many different people, and I've been on your show a few times. And I've always had a lot of fun. But you've interviewed some very interesting characters. I mean, like, you've interviewed David Icke. I interviewed David Icke, and you know, I don't normally ask the same kind of questions that most people do, only because mine just comes, and I don't do tons and tons of studying about anybody. It's just the answers and the questions are there. So when you interviewed David Icke, what was one of the most important things in that interview that you can remember with him? And I know you've done him a few times, so pick one that's really, excuse me, really good.
Oh, well, I have to say that a lot of what he says resonates with me, and I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people. We spoke about the Moon Matrix, and he really raised a new perspective about the idea of reality and consciousness and how all of this could be a holographic projection. And he took it a step further to where the moon, he was saying that the moon can play a role in projecting this consciousness, similar to the film They Live. Which I don't know how far along the lines I can go on that, but the whole idea of the holographic universe really pushed me in a new direction. So I would say the holographic universe. And when you really break it down at a atomic level, you realize that everything is made up of particles, and almost as if pixels, and that atoms and subatomic particles, they act differently when they're not being observed. They're scattered all over the place. When you observe them, they're all in one ball and they're right there. But when you're not looking at them, they're everywhere. And you can liken this to something like a video game, like The Sims. You know, The Sims will show you one scene at a time, and those other scenes, they don't really exist until you're looking at that scene. And the universe kind of works like that, believe it or not. And even mainstream scientists are starting to come out and say, this is how the universe works. So it really changes your perspective on how you can live when you realize that you can essentially manipulate this universe and the reality around you by just changing the way that you think.
Mm-hmm. And Sheree, what about you?
Oh, he's always Chris basically touched upon all the things that I always think about whenever I think of David Icke. David Icke's one of those people that, you know, you can listen to him for hours and hours and hours, and you know, you have to listen to it over and over and over again because it's just so much information that he's throwing at you. But the most important thing that I've ever taken away from what he said in the interviews that we've done with him is that we have the left brain and the right brain, and that we have to have more right brain going on, because our left brains have been so spoiled.
Well, I can say this, that listening to David Icke over the years is what really drew me to his work rather than when we interviewed him. When we interviewed him, it was more on a focused topic. And we spent a good 3.5 hours on that topic, but it was more focused. But what my favorite thing that he's done is probably Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. That has helped me sculpt my life and have a baseline to live off of. And a lot of people get confused as to what infinite love actually is. It's not as some kind of hippy-dippy idea where you go stick flowers and guns and things like that. Infinite love is always responding from a positive perspective. It's responding from the opposite of fear. Our whole society is built on making you respond from fear. So if you can respond from a different level, then you can really change the outcomes of the situations that you get yourself into. For instance, I got into it with a DHS officer, and I didn't respond from fear. I responded from love. I showed him respect, etc. And it turned out to where we potentially had a new listener. I was giving him my business cards by the end of it. And had I responded from a fear mentality, he probably would have slapped handcuffs on me, put me down on the ground, thought I was a punk, et cetera, et cetera. But infinite love also is about knowing when to walk away from somebody. And I think you're the one that actually told me this gem of wisdom, that is sometimes you just have to walk away from those people that are constantly in that negative vibration and that are bringing you down to that negative vibration, and let them have the negativity themselves. If they want to be negative, that's their prerogative. I'm not going to impede on their free will. They can do whatever they want, but I don't have to take it with me.
Which is very true. And, you know, one of the things that I try to get across to people is, you know, I don't call it infinite love. I call it love. But it is infinite love, and it means coming from your heart and handling things from your heart, not coming from the anger, the fear, or the hurt mode, or I'm going to kill you mode, or anything like that. And people in today's world have lost that infinite love. They're starting to regain it, but it's going to take a little bit of time, because all we hear every day in the media or people talking about all the wars going on and how much money they're costing and bringing everybody down, or they start talking about, you know, all the negative parts of what's going on in the world today, which there are a lot of negative parts going on in the world, but don't feed it. Try to rework it. Come up with a better idea or a view to make it more positive, because the idea is if you can turn it to a positive, you're going to turn it the right way, and it'll come out okay. You know, and David is really good at letting people know about the infinite love part, which is really good with him. You know, my biggest thing with David was his honesty. Because there are many, many people who have same ideas that he does, but they were so afraid to come out with them, like, you know, they're going to stay locked in a closet. So 25, 30 years ago, he was thought to be crazy because of what he was saying, and this could not possibly be true. And everything that he has talked about has slowly, you know, worked out that it's pretty much right on what he's saying. And so I think it's important that people start to pay attention, not just to David, but to really what's going on inside of them, because I think that's a part of the growth, better known as ascension, that people really need more than anything else right now, and that's to love themselves first so they can actually give out that love. Because if you don't love yourself first, it's real hard to let somebody else love you, or even you try to love somebody else. So that's real important. Now, on some of your other shows, let's talk about, because you talk about, you know, the dwarf planet, and you talk about a lot of the political cover-ups and all that stuff. So let's talk about the planet that everybody is so concerned about. They call it Planet X, Nibiru. They call it all kinds of names. So what's your take on that, you guys?
Well, Planet X is not some kind of weird idea like some people think. X is merely the Roman numeral for 10, and it means the 10th planet. Back in 1982, the Washington Post came out with a story, and I think the New York Times as well, that we discovered a 10th planet, and they see it in our solar system. And then all of a sudden, it just disappeared.
Then you had Rex 84.
Yeah, well, the whole story disappeared. And then about 2 years later, we had Rex 84, which was the contingency program for the government that had everybody all in an uproar. And then from that point on, we start to see all these anomalies. We start to see the economy being blown out and trillions of dollars disappearing. We start seeing the government building underground bunkers. We start seeing them stockpiling foods, preparing FEMA camps, FEMA coffins, things like this. And everybody's running around and going, oh, they want to kill 80% of the population. But that doesn't make too much sense. Is that break music?
No, that's
oh, okay.
Just the thing going by. See, out here, out where I live, is like nobody's out here but us, and there's this gravel road, so the kids come with their little four-wheelers and two-wheelers. So I'm going to shut down the windows while you're still talking. But,
okay.
You know, go into it just a little bit more. Both.
Yeah,
both
here, absolutely. We've had all these anomalies in the government. And I'm sorry, Sher, do you want to go ahead?
No, I was just going to mention about Comet Ellen, and I think that's what you were kind of insinuating by all of the other things that they try to call this. And I just want to clarify that Ellen is not Planet X. Actually, Ellen is a very small object that we think might be kind of a harbinger or something that will actually precede something much bigger and much more damaging. And that big something would probably be a brown dwarf that's kind of barreling through our solar system coming up from the south. And the ancients all talked about this. But, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
After Rex 84.
Okay, yeah, after Rex 84, we started seeing trillions of dollars disappearing, the government gearing up for something. So we have to start looking at what's going on. Now, we have had earthquakes, we've had tsunamis, we've had major earth changes, we've had all of the planets heating up, we've had them all cooling down, we've had pole shifts on other planets, Saturn, Jupiter, et cetera, have been shifting their poles. The sun has been acting crazy, just insane solar flares. We've seen a lot of anomalies around the sun as well. We've seen UFOs and whatnot. And that can only lead to one thing, in my opinion, and that is some kind of large celestial body coming up from somewhere. And then we have this story about Comet Ellen coming in. And Comet Ellen, in my opinion, from the beginning, we always thought that it was more of a disinformation campaign than anything else. We were wrong in our assumption that it was completely fake, because nobody was able to see this thing. Supposedly it was discovered by some guy named Leonid Elenin, which that's also very strange and coincidental in itself. But he discovered it with an 18-inch telescope. And if you remember the movie Deep Impact, the comet that they were – or the asteroid or comet, whatever it was that they were facing, was called ELLIE, Extinction Level Event. And people were theorizing Extinction Level Event, Nibiru is near – so on and so forth. And this guy who discovered it, who made this huge buzz on the internet, didn't do any interviews except for one small interview on Russia Today. And it was something like a year after it was discovered, or several months after it was discovered. This guy has a chance to be famous for the rest of his life. He can do all these interviews. He can, you know, it didn't make any sense to me. So we started theorizing maybe Comet Ellen is actually not there, but its alignment dates are a signal that something else is coming. And so we watch time progress, and Leonid, if you actually look up what that means, that means a meteor shower that comes every November. And this thing was supposed to have its major alignment, and we're supposed to pass through its tail in November. Now, I don't know what's happened, because the JPL data that came out initially showed us that we're going to have the major alignment date around November 5th, November 9th, and then somehow this thing lined up on the 27th. But you have to consider the source. I mean, JPL, you can't trust anything that the government puts out or that NASA puts out, so you have to take everything with a grain of salt. However, we've seen this thing making some really weird changes in speed, changes in direction. People were theorizing that it might be a UFO. Richard Hoagland was saying it might be a time capsule. So many different theories. And I don't know how far along the lines of a time capsule I can go. His theory was that our future selves had sent us a time capsule. And I don't know how he came up with this, except for the anomalies which were inside of the comet, which made up perfect geometrical patterns, which are not natural patterns. So anyways, so we're theorizing that there could potentially be a brown dwarf star following Ellen. And Ellen is actually orbiting around the brown dwarf star, one of its satellites. And so if that's the case, that would explain why we see the comet changing directions, we see it changing speeds and whatnot, and we see things happening every time we have an alignment date, because this brown dwarf star is aligning somewhere way behind it, and people are theorizing that it's about 3 astronomical units away or 6 astronomical units away at the time, and an astronomical unit is a distance between Earth and the sun. But if that's the case, then we're in a lot of trouble. But we'll see. I mean, there's so much disinformation, so much misinformation that we really have to be very cautious when we make any kind of predictions or analysis or anything. So we try to always put a disclaimer. This is just what we know so far. Things are subject to change. But the brown dwarf star, or Nibiru, how some people call it, comes from the Sumerians. And before I get into that, let me just say that coincidentally, on the same day that Lucas was on our broadcast, somebody who's been researching this for years now and has connected a lot of these dots, such as the Georgia Guidestones, where it says, maintain the population under 500 million. And he pointed something out that brought a new perspective to me. He says, this is for after the fact. This is for after the catastrophe. It's not now. They don't want to kill 80% of the population now. He says, this is for after the catastrophe. They want to maintain it under 500 million afterwards, not now. And it never made sense to me why the government would want to kill 80% of the population.
They even give you a hint on the Georgia Guidestones about what these guidestones are actually for by putting a sundial type of instrument on there to where you can figure out where the new magnetic poles are.
They are going to shift.
Exactly.
Right. Well, they have a little hole in them that at noon it lines up at a certain place. It shines the light through a certain place. And if the poles were to shift a little bit, and then they would be able to recalibrate it based on how many degrees the light shines at noon after the fact. So it looks like they're gearing up for something. And if the brown dwarf is coming, then the Sumerian tales that we've been hearing about are starting to ring true, that a 12th planet existed. The Sumerians called it the 12th planet because they considered the moon and the sun a planetary body as well. Or the 10th planet, if you want to, you know, consider what mainstream science is saying. And that it could be coming back. The Anunnaki, who came from there, who came here and genetically engineered us, and the Book of Enki tells a whole nother tale of creation, which echoes the Bible. I mean, it really shows a lot of the same events that happened in the Bible, and this is a tablets that are thousands of years before the Bible, but it shows a completely different perspective, that we were created in clay pots, not out of clay, but in clay pots, and we were genetically engineered. We were made in God's image. But we were made to be slaves to mine gold. And all of a sudden, here we are at the end of the age. We know we're coming up to the end of the age, the end of the Mayan calendar cycle, whether you want to believe there's a doomsday coming or not. We are coming to the end of the age. But we have this in our DNA infused to collect gold. And everybody's running around, we need to go back to the gold standard. You have the United States going to Libya to take all their gold. You've got all this acquisition of gold. So that's something that I found really coincidental. But we'll see what happens. And I don't know, I think I might have veered off the subject, and so I didn't get to say this. But the same day we had Lucas, CNN comes out, and they said, mainstream science has just discovered a brown dwarf star right here in our solar system. So who knows? But again, you have to consider the source. It's CNN. Are they propagating disinformation, or are they telling us the truth? Who knows?
Yeah, that's the part about mainstream media. Nobody really knows what is really going on, and they try to give us as much bull as they can. And unfortunately, a lot of people sit there day in and day out and listen and listen and listen and freak themselves out, which is kind of not the thing to do. You know, but you were talking about the Anunnakis and the Samaritans and stuff. And a lot of people who really don't know about the Anunnaki or the Samaritans have a very rough time with the idea of the way religion is. And, you know, the Bible, the way it is, truly isn't really the way it was originally, and it has been rewritten several times by humans. And the stories in the Bible do correlate with what they have in the Anunnakis, but that's what I was told, because they actually gave them kind of what would be called the true Bible, and then it was redone several times over to get us to believe the way we believe. But I totally agree with you both that we are here as hybrids, and we were here for slavery. Unfortunately, they didn't count on our DNA is getting smart as we have. But as far as the gold rush goes, yes, everybody wants to go to gold. Look at the price of gold. You know, everybody wants to do gold because, you know, that's something you can touch. It's something you can feel. It's not like a dollar bill that can be ripped apart and thrown away. You know, so, yeah, everybody's out for that gold. And that's kind of a man-made story to up those prices of gold. And it's going to happen over and over again as long as we allow it. So let's talk a little bit about Wall Street, because that's the big news, occupying Wall Street. What do you guys think of that?
It depends on who you ask, for one thing, and it depends on what city you're in. If you're in Boston, for instance, you could very well just be trying to get Obama back in office for a second term. Whereas if you're in Denver, then you're actually protesting against the Fed, which actually, you know, does something useful. So I think it's actually a problem, and it's a good thing that these Occupy Everything protests don't have core leadership and don't have really set goals, is because there's I really don't think they're going to get anything done with what they're going after right now. But if they stuck to things that actually meant something, they could get something done.
Well, my opinion on the whole matter is that we can go back to David Icke's work, and he always talks about yelling at the movie screen and not changing the movie. And by changing the movie, that means changing the way you think, changing the way you perceive the world. And these people are out here yelling at the movie screen, and I commend them 100% for being out there and doing it. The problem is they don't know what the heck they're doing. They don't know what they're there for. I mean, you've got this slut walk. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's these women that walk around dressed like total whores, and they say, stop the rape, stop the rape, stop the rapes. This is in the middle of a Wall Street protest, and it's like, wait a minute, we're focusing on the government here, and you're talking about stop the rape. Okay, I understand that there's a time and place for it, but let's get focused here, ladies and gentlemen. So they're over there trying to occupy Wall Street, which didn't do any good. You know, my idea first is that they were going to go try to prevent people from getting into the buildings, trying to throw themselves upon the gears and upon the wheels of the machine and let them know that unless they're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. But that's not what they're doing down there. It's ridiculous. They need a leader, somebody who knows what they're doing. But the problem is that most of us that know, we know better than to go out in the streets, because it's not going to change anything.
And I think it's really cute how they have like a little library set up, and they've got a first aid station, and they've got all these little they've got their own little commune going on down there. And I think that's. You know, I respect that. I understand that, you know, they're trying to be their own little community down there, but people have to get to work.
Well, no, people don't need to go to work. I would disagree with that 100%. People need to stop going to work. And then that will send a huge message to the ruling class and say, again, we'll prevent the machine from working if we're not going to be free. And that's what they want. They want people to keep going to work. That's the whole thing that they do here, is keep you in a perpetual state of fear. How are you going to pay your pills? How are you going to pay your rent? How are you going to put food on your table? And so you don't worry about what they're doing. You're just worried about your survival, and they play off of it perfectly. So I mean, I commend these people for what they're doing, but you know, these large movements like this, they're very prone to being hijacked. You can look at the Tea Party movement, for instance, and it was started by Ron Paul supporters, and we had a big demonstration where they were throwing things over the harbor, and that's where the Tea Party came from. And I mentioned this on our show the other day, and a listener sent me a video, and he says, you really need to learn the origins of the Tea Party. And I said, okay, let's take a look. And I turn on the video, and it says the Tea Party started in 2009 with Senator so-and-so. That was when they hijacked the Tea Party. They're completely ignoring the history before that. And then Sarah Palin came in, Glenn Beck came in, and it turned into the fiasco it is now. And if we can learn anything from democracy, is that mob rule, all it takes is one really slick person to lead the mob any direction, and the mob will follow, because most people, I hate to say it, they're not at an awakened state yet, and so they're very easily manipulated.
Yeah, and I like to say, my own quote that I came up with before was to everybody like that, which is the majority, that you keep your head buried in the sand long enough and you are going to get your butt kicked really hard, since it's the only thing showing. And, you know, that's what people keep doing. They don't want the responsibility, but they want to do something. But they don't want to be a leader, because that means they have to take responsibility. So people are basically kind of lazy with what they want versus what they're willing to do.
Well, it goes back to even the idea of freedom. Do people really want to be free? I don't think so. With freedom comes a lot of responsibility, just like you said. And freedom is being able to take responsibility. If I damage somebody's property, I don't need mommy and daddy government to come over here and spank me for it. I need to go over there next door and I need to knock on the door and say, hey, I'm sorry I damaged your property. Let me see how I can fix this. On that note, I don't need mommy and daddy government to give me a welfare check. I don't need them to give me a housing. I don't need them to give me anything. Now, we should have a system that helps people who are in need, but that helps them, not keeps them in a welfare state, because that's what this welfare system does. That's why we have generations and generations and generations of what people on welfare, a system which helps people progress. And we can look at Libya, for instance. That was the perfect society there. A lot of people don't know this, but Gaddafi got on Larry King Live and he was talking about 9/11, and they asked him, do you condemn Osama bin Laden for his acts on 9/11? And he says, your FBI hasn't even implicated in it. Most of the people were Saudi Arabian, and they were trained and funded in the United States. Iraq had nothing to do with this. Osama bin Laden had nothing to do with this. And Larry King, of course, cuts commercial real fast. Now, Gaddafi was a very naughty boy, too. In other speeches, he would go to the UN, and he would talk openly about the African Union. He would call for peace between Israel and Palestine. He would call Obama his Kenyan-born brother. On one national speech that he did, he said, you know, we really had hope for Obama because he was a born Kenyan from here in this region, and we thought that the United States would really change and that we'd see peace between Israel and Palestine, and he promised this and he promised that. But I think, and he was theorizing, I think they threatened him in the same manner that they threatened JFK. You look at JFK, and he was assassinated because he started looking into Israel's nuclear program. This is Gaddafi talking on national television. Now, let's take it a step further. A house is a right over there. It's not something you buy. It's a right. Electricity is free. Gas is 17 cents a gallon. Most of the people are upper middle class. And the Islamic banking system is something that they're deadly afraid of as well. The Islamic banking system works on no interest. It's just like a small fee that you pay when you go get a loan. Let's say I want to start a business. I go to the bank. I say, I want to start this business. They say, okay, here's the money. And, you know, when you pay us back, you pay us back a small fee. And your responsibility, once this business is done, is to help somebody else start a business. And then you're given people who will help you make sure your business succeeds. And it's something that really helps everybody. And all of the oil revenues was split between the people. And they would get free health care, which rivaled our American westernized health care now. The hospitals look just this the same over here. I remember seeing during this quote-unquote upheaval against Gaddafi, which was completely staged and manufactured. I mean, we looked at Reuters, and we found them protesting a prison massacre, supposedly, that happened in 1999. And they had this huge banner of the people that were massacred. And Reuters puts out the story of, The protesters are honoring the fallen and the uprising over the past couple of days against Gaddafi's rule. And it's like 1996. I said 99 earlier, but it's like 1996 really big on the banner. And I'm looking at it and going, why does it say 1996? How did these people put all this together so quickly, et cetera, et cetera? So that we started looking even more. We find out that Israel sent 50,000 mercenaries into Libya to quote-unquote quell the protesters. So the people that were perpetrating the violence was the Israeli mercenaries. And then another story came out that was very conflicting, that Gaddafi armed his entire population with AK-47s. Now, wait a minute. They're trying to overthrow him and he's going to arm them with AK-47s? No, no, no. That was one of the last beacons of freedom left in that region. And we had to go over there, get that. We had to get the gold. We had to get the oil. And also, a lot of people don't realize, but there was a big water reserve under there, a fresh water reserve. Under Iraq as well was a freshwater reserve. So it wasn't just about oil. But here's another interesting thing, back to the Anunnaki and Nibiru. The first operation that we ran was called Operation Stargate in Desert Storm. That was the first operation that they ran, and it was supposedly to go secure this village. Well, inside of this village was a museum that had all of these ancient Sumerian artifacts. And Saddam was actually going to put all of this information out there and make a public library out of all of the Sumerian texts and tablets and stories. And I think one of the things that they're afraid of is for us to learn the true history of who we are, where we came from, that we were genetically engineered by these beings, and that we were engineered to be their slaves to mine gold. Because if we realize that we were born a slave, then we realize that we are still slaves. But the most hopelessly enslaved is the man that thinks he's free. But I'll take that a step further and say the most hopelessly enslaved is the man who thinks he's free, but the one that's truly free is the one who realizes he is free.
Right, which does make a difference. And people need to kind of wake up to that fact. You know, there's a lot of things that our government has done, and people continue to refuse to believe that our government could possibly do that. So some of the things that are going to be coming in, and I'm quite sure of this, is like you talked, Chris, when you talked about they're afraid of truth. People are going to really start finding out the truth. And 2012 isn't an end of this world. It's not where the world is going to end. It is an end of the way we know the world to be in all facets. In other words, our belief system should be awakened by then, by most people, not all. We will see different scenarios happen that we will remember happened several lifetimes ago, and it's going to be a more awakened planet, which is really the only thing that's going to save this planet at this moment, because there's too many other things trying to tear it apart. You know, they're trying to make this planet a one-world order. You know, I don't believe that will happen, because they're failing right now, and they're failing miserably, and they're very afraid. And so they're still putting out all this stuff. They're still trying to get you to think that the United States is this nice little boy who just goes in and tries to make nice in all these other countries and doesn't want anything. But that's truly not real. You know, that is absurd for people to believe that. If you go back in history, and I do mean history, from the time the United States was, quote, founded, it was founded on war. And war at that time made money. And they're still saying that it makes money, but that's not true anymore. So they're using different tactics. You know, when the Haiti earthquake happened, it baffled me for a little while, and I'm going to explain why. I didn't understand why Haiti, which nothing against, you know, Haiti or anything else, but why it took them 24 hours to have it total in a military lockdown, where here in the United States, when Katrina came in, it took them 7 days to get help to the people here in the United States. But Haiti, 24 hours, it was under a military lockdown. And then I did a little bit of studying on that, and I listened to some other people, and they came up with a few facts. And whether you want to believe it or not, if you look hard enough, you'll find it. Also under Haiti is one of the biggest oil deposits ever in the world, along with the gold deposits. So it would only make sense that the United States was first in there in 24 hours, and that probably HAARP was used to create that little transaction, we'll call it.
Well, not only that, but there were also U.S. and Israeli military that were already at the docks off the coast of Florida before it even happened. They were ready for it before it even happened. And as soon as it happened, Israel sent in their ships and for quote-unquote aid. And most of that
aid... And their organ harvesters.
Yes, and that aid includes organ harvesting teams.
Yeah, and see, again, people have a very hard time believing, I think, that the U.S. and Israel are very much into each other's pockets.
Well, people just have to realize, in my opinion, people just have to realize, in my opinion, that this is a corporation, ladies and gentlemen. There is no such thing as the United States. There's no such thing as Israel. It's all a corporation. The United States is a corporation, and corporations have shareholders, stockholders. They expect to make a profit, and the officers of the corporations are looking out for the best interest of the corporation, not of the people. That's why when you encounter a police officer, he's going to do one of two things. He's going to either give you a ticket or he's going to take you to jail. He's not there to protect you. If he was there to protect you, then you can hold him liable whenever you get hurt. You can hold the police department liable if your house gets broken into, but you can't, because that's not their job. So we have to realize this, that it's all corporations all up and down, and they don't care about us. When we went into Libya, it wasn't personal. It was a corporate takeover, just like Microsoft would take over a small computer company.
Which is all true. Cherie, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I went down to Taco Bell the other day, and I saw this sign that said, donate a dollar to help feed the world. And I was like, okay, you know, how is my dollar going to help feed the world? And I asked her, do you know who's corporately sponsoring this particular, you know, drive? And she said, no. I was like, well, have you ever checked to see where the money goes whenever you donate to these types of things? She said, no, but I've got their website right here. I was like, okay, you do. And I just, you know, quizzed her a little bit. I said, you do know that most of the Red Cross money that people gave for Haiti to help the Haitians after the earthquake didn't go to them, right? And she said, really? I said, no, no. The Red Cross is a business. You know, they're business just like anything else.
Red Cross is a blood bank for Dracula. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, if you think about the reptilians, it very well could be.
That was good, Chris. That was good. Even the tone was good.
You have to laugh, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's important, because you can talk about the negative all day long, but if you don't stay in a positive light, then they won. Whether you fear the mainstream media from what they're telling you, or you fear from some people that we choose not to name because I don't want to invoke his spirit right here into my living room, when he's propagating his fear over and over again in the alternative media, or whether you're just fearful for just not knowing if you're going to pay your bills or pay your rent, etc., you're still living in that negative vibration. And I believe that these entities, whether you want to call them demons, reptilians, any, or just a dark force, it's working to feed off of that fear, so we have to stay out of that. And we have to know that the universe is going to provide for us no matter what. All you have to do is just stay in tune with the universe, and it knows what you need. Now, so a lot of times it doesn't give you what you want, but if you just change the things that you want, then it gives you everything that you want too. When you realize that you don't need all this plastic garbage, you don't need the biggest house to keep up with the Joneses. Sheree and I lived in a 3,000 square foot house with the two of us.
It was a nightmare.
It was huge, and we didn't even fill up the rooms. And I'm looking around and going, "What did we do? We moved into a 2-bedroom apartment." And we're so much happier, and life is so much easier. I used to have a $50,000 truck, and I'd pay outrageous amounts every month for this truck. And I barely even used it because I was spending most of my time working, trying to pay for the truck and the big house. And then we bought a car with cash, and now I don't have to worry about anybody coming to take it away if I miss a payment. That's the way to live, ladies and gentlemen.
But why do you think they call it the economic stimulus? Because it's all stimuli. It's all meant to stimulate some sort of primal urge within yourself to do better financially, to make more money, to be more secure. Security is control. And you notice how people are asking for more and more security. We need more security in our economy. We need more government intervention in our economy. You know, things like this. Why don't we just give up the economy? Because we are continuously told that this money is actually worth something, and we actually believe it, and we put it into practice, and thus the lie is continued.
Yeah, but money, for instance, that's a perfect example on how we live in a democracy. The whole world is a democracy. And if you look at Plato, he said democracy is mob rule. And that's what's going on, because I know that money was created out of thin air. I know that it means nothing. My landlord doesn't know that.
Exactly.
The power company doesn't know that. So we're still stuck falling into the matrix, whether we like it or not. But the only thing that we can do, in my opinion, is realize that we're in the matrix and then try to manipulate the matrix to our advantage.
Exactly, to our advantage. And people can do that. And I think, you know, Chris and Sheree, because most people live in that state of fear, like you said, I got to keep up with the Joneses, I got to put food on the table, I don't think they're seeing beyond their nose. So a lot of the changes that are coming, for whatever reason, you know, is also the awakening to help people understand that money really isn't going to mean anything, that the love's going to mean something, community is going to mean something, helping each other, you know, taking care of each other better, not trying to steal from each other. Those are the things that are going to be taking over. And a lot of people are going to have a hard time with that thought because they've been so secluded within themselves when it comes to their own emotions and so shut down that they can't fathom somebody really being good to them for no reason at all other than because they care about them making it. And that's a big awakening that's going to be happening. And as things start to close and jobs are lost and people get more fearful, they need to remember that this is to bring back love for human mankind, one another, and self-love, so that we can really build on that versus the greed, the power, and the control. And when people understand that, they won't be in fear. They won't live like they have lived. And you know, unfortunately, from what I see in the human race, there has to be many, many disasters before they actually open their eyes and are willing to open their hearts. And if they can open their hearts first, their eyes will be open much easier and much quicker, and they'll actually see what this whole process that we're going to be going through truly is all about. It's not to end human race. It's not to end the world. It's none of those things. And it's real important that people understand that they are a big part of this. And if they want to keep their head buried in the sand, they won't get ahead of it here, nor will they find out what the truth really is. You know, and so people have got to change a little bit. Yes, Chris?
Well, if you look at every single doctrine, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you're a pagan, or even the Luciferians, if you really look at the Luciferians, not the Satanists that commit rituals, but the Luciferians, they believe that Lucifer was the one who gave us the knowledge and freed us, and he's the loving God, and that God is the bad God. But every single teaching tells you the only thing that you can take out of this life is the energy and the love that you put in and give to other people. And I think that's true. That's the only thing that matters. And the knowledge that you obtain too. I would add the knowledge to that too, because I think that's what the point of life is for us to evolve spiritually enough to where we can escape the wheel of death and birth and rebirth and move on to the next plane. And unfortunately, a lot of people are stuck in that wheel, and we've all been stuck in the wheel. I mean, I've had probably thousands of past lives, a couple that I might remember. I know I was talking to you about this the other day, and I know you have a few that you remember as well, but we've probably been here thousands of times, and the universe will give us an infinite amount of time, as much as we need in order to purify our spirits, in my opinion. But without understanding that that's the purpose of this, and all this money and materialism and everything is just an illusion, well, then you're going to be stuck for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, you know, I try to tell people this whole thing you're looking at is total illusion. It really is an illusion. And they look at me like, what? I said, oh, yeah, it's fake. You know, it's an image that you've had put in you somewhere, sometime, at some point in part of your life. But it's not real. The only real thing truly comes from the heart. And that's where people are going to end up being. Now, Chris and Sharia, I want you guys to give out your website. I want you to give out the name of your show, the days it's on, and how they can find you.
That would be at truthfrequencyradio.com, truthfrequencynews.com, and we go live every Saturday night
at 10 o'clock
from
Central.
10 to 2, and at oraclebroadcasting.com.
10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
In that Central Time?
Yes, Central Time. We moved to Mountain Time, but we've always been putting the show as Central.
Yeah.
So we just kept it like that. But it gets confusing sometimes.
It gets confusing. Because
we were ready to do the show an hour before a couple of weeks ago, and then we got in the chat and we were like, oh my God, there's not very many people in the chat. What's going on? You still have an hour before the show starts. So we keep it Central, 10 o'clock Central.
Okay, and repeat it one more time so people can find you.
TruthFrequencyRadio.com and TruthFrequencyNews.com.
And it's at 10 o'clock on what's?
10 o'clock, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. on Oracle Broadcasting. You can go to our website, and we've got all the listen links and chat rooms and everything there. And the chat rooms are really well monitored. We get rid of all of the trolls and anybody who's just coming in there to interrupt. So you'll find a nice community of people that are really exchanging ideas.
Which is real important, because that's what's going to help also, rather than people who are just out of control.
Well, we've had twin flames find each other. Two sets so far.
And
move
to other sides of the world.
Yes. Our web mistress, who wasn't our web mistress at the time, she's the one that keeps Truth Frequency News updated. She met somebody in our chat room, and she moved to Serbia from the United States to Serbia to be with them. Another one who's, both of them were friends of ours from the chat room, and he's actually going to Kansas here on the 15th to pick her up and take her back to Florida. They've never met before, but they're moving in together already.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. And if you look at countries like Greece, you know, I've realized by looking at Greece that we can riot, we can protest, we can do all the things in the world, but the best thing for us to do is to realize that we're the ones controlling everything in our lives, and let's start bartering. Let's start trading with each other. Let's completely move past this currency, this fake monetary system, and start working with each other, and it's all about cooperation.
See, the barter system will come back because there won't be a choice. People won't necessarily accept it right away, but in the long run, they will find out it's much better to do it that way than trying to choose this monetary system that's so hard to keep up with. Because, you know, I did a study once, and this is real quick because we're almost out of time. I did a study on taxes. If you take $1, and this is going to surprise everybody, if you take $1 and you take all the taxes out of that $1 that you make with all that you pay for, whether it's phone tax, mobile phone tax, grocery, gas, whatever tax it is, the amount that you make yourself in that $1 is only not even 70 cents, it's like 62.25 cents.
Well, that's before you spend money on the gasoline, which has a tax, or anything else that's taxed. So that same dollar is being taxed over and over and over again.
Over and over. It's like it's never-ending tax. So when people start bartering, remember, there's no tax to that. It's kindness, it's helping one another, and it's doing it a much better way. You know, because then you get your communities back, you get your love back for people, and you start trusting again. See, and those things is what all this movement really is going to end up being about, even though it's going to be probably scary, a lot more destruction, but somehow it will wake us up, and that's what our end result will be, and that's when we will be the happiest.
I completely agree.
Me too.
And everybody who's listening needs to listen to Nancy and call in and get a reading. Get a full hour reading, I'm telling you, because it's changed my life and it's helped me with every single path and obstacle that I've come across. Nancy will say, you know what, money's going to be bad for you for 3 months, but 3 months later, don't worry about it. And so that's exactly what happens. So I prepare myself, and sure enough, that's exactly what happens. It's really, I mean, she is really an intuitive life coach, ladies
and
gentlemen.
She has a gift.
Yes.
She really does.
Well, I thank you guys very much for that. You did a better job of giving myself out than I ever do, and I thank you. Anyway, our time is actually up, and so I want to thank you guys for being on the show. But everybody, check out their program. It's really good. I've been on there a few times, and it's a lot of fun. It's really good listening. So, you know, check them out. And I really am very, very honored to have you guys on my show. So you guys keep up the good work with your news and what you're doing. And don't let anybody get anything over on you, because you guys would be great.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Nancy. Thank you for having us on. And I know that the only reason we're able to do what we do is because people like yourself, William White, Crow, others like that are constantly sending us good energy. And we hope that we're able to send the same amount back to everybody.
I'm sure you do. So thank you very much for taking the time. It was very well, very much having you on. It was very good. So you guys take care and have a great show this weekend for yourself.
Always.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Do what you need to do to get yourself in order, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye now.